Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to After Things. I'm Andrew Mean, joined by Bryce Castillo.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to After Things.
Justin Robert Young.
Hi.
Brian Brushwood is out finishing the acquisition of his compound.
Mm-hmm. I believe he's putting pen to paper now as we speak.
Yes, but it's one of his scam school shocking pens. So
yeah, got him. Problem.
It's a lockpick. Hold on, I got something here.
That's like, the trick. That's how you make signings go faster, is you just shock them until they want to get away from you.
So just take it. Just take the property.
Do it. Fine. Justin, you said you had a topic, a suggestion, a comment, observations, manifesto.
I'm at a crossroads, so I have a problem, and I'm gonna bring it to you guys, and I do have a solution.
I think the beard looks good. I know it's starting to be kind of silly and hipsterish. Oh, sorry, I jumped the gun on that.
No, it is getting a little wizardly. This is Ashley's way of telling me to trim the beard, is that she just starts saying that the beard is wizardly.
Potion seller?
She's like, what? I don't see a rent fair on the calendar. What's the deal?
Exactly, right? All right. So when I was thinking about leaving the Go game, I created a Patreon for the One Mic show that I was doing called Jury. Jury started out as me wanting to get better at One Mic radio and One Mic podcasting. I knew to do it, I would have to do it more, right? And so I had done the Jury podcast for a little bit, but I decided, you know, if I'm going to have all this extra time, if I'm taking myself off the road, then let's just take a gauge on what a Jury Patreon would make me and then kind of go from there. And so when I quit the Go game, that was the place where I wanted to direct all that excitement, you know, of like, hey, more of me on the internet. Hooray. So as things kind of went on, I then also started doing the politics podcast, which I had initially only thought was going to last until the end of the 2016 election. Turns out people still wanted to talk about politics after the 2016 election. So I continued to do that. And as I sort of threw the politics podcast in as sort of like yet another value add on, you know, subscribing to me, it became a little clearer by all available metrics that there were more people interested in me talking politics than me just doing a general one-man show.
Yeah.
And by and large, I don't think this has necessarily been a huge conflict, except for two things. Number one, the biggest spike we have ever had on that Patreon came when I started doing exclusive political content on Mondays and Fridays. So now if you're a $3 subscriber per week, then you get a Monday show and a Friday show that people who are not a $3 subscriber do not get, right? It's been a huge value add, and it's like rewarded the people that are the most passionate about the show, which is great. That relies on the RSS feed that Patreon generates. Mm. Right now, Patreon does not have a way for you to select of the things that are specifically given to you on that RSS feed, what you do or don't want. You just get the highest level that you're pledged at, and then everything else. Mm-hmm. So that's the technical thing that becomes a problem now that I've decided with the Jury show as a way of just evolving that and finding where that audience really, really wants to be. I've decided to no longer do a 1 hour weekly show, but rather 15 to 20 minute shows 4 days a week, because it has kind of become a more email dependent show. And we've had some really fun, interesting emails that, like, if we go with the normal flow of it. It's 3 months that we're talking about something that's like fascinating, but I don't really want to be talking about for 3 months. On a 4 day a week thing, we can have these things sort of cycle through more and more.
Yeah.
Here's my problem. For the people that, by the numbers, just care about me talking about politics and have cared so much that they have given me $3 a week to listen to my exclusive talk, that RSS feed right now is also getting them not one episode of this podcast they don't listen to, but 4 episodes of this podcast that they don't listen to. Mm-hmm. And it is becoming very, very clear that one Patreon is kind of bursting at the seams for this increasingly divergent content.
Right. You've made a second show that is a different show and has grown into needing its own space and mechanism because those audiences are diverging because the shows are very different.
Yeah.
Okay.
And branding wise, it's getting harder and harder to be like, well, go to this thing that doesn't sound like this other thing. And it's just, it's become a problem. I've not yet gotten the first complaint from somebody who's like, I'm just here for the politics. Why am I getting this multitude of other stuff that I don't want? Mm-hmm. But I suspect that it is my spidey sense is tingling that I am making the mechanism by which the most passionate people are giving me money less useful to them. And so that's the problem. I do have a solution, but I would love to open up the floor to you guys for any clarifying questions or any thoughts on how I could handle this going forward.
Let me get this clear. So
yeah,
you did a show, politics, 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 right?
Yes.
Okay. And you were doing it how often?
For free, once a week on Fridays, and mm-hmm. for $3 subscribers. The only way that they can get those episodes is to get the custom RSS feed. I do Mondays and Fridays.
Okay. And then now you've added more shows.
He's added more jury shows.
Jury shows.
Yeah. The jury show, which is the other one mic show that I do, that has gone from once a week to now 4 times a week.
Okay. And I know most of this. We've talked about this for years, but I want to kind of get clarity here because there's a lot of insidery stuff here. So
yeah,
jury show is separate Patreon or is it part of the whole thing?
It's one as of now, it's one
Patreon. All in one.
Right. So you're getting jury and you're getting politics, politics, politics all in one feed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I would say ultimately the arbitrators, of course, are going to be your fans. Okay. And I just want to be absolutely clear that this is what this, because I've listened to these and talked to them about these things. I think I support them, by the way. Support it, by the way. It's part of my Patreon bill. I think that ultimately it's what your audience, but of course the audience is not a unimind. There's going to be difference of opinions. And that's the thing. You say, I haven't got an email yet. Well, so what if you did? If 99% of people are happy and one guy's not, it's not your responsibility to change everything because one guy. I think regardless, and to really make a point, irregardless, because it's not a word, but it is now, you should be doing 2 separate Patreons. And I think you're at the point where I know that there's the pro and con to that, but I do think you should be thinking about doing 2 separate ones. I think it should be 2 separate ones because some people like, I'm here for jury. I'm here from politics. I'm here for both. And you're going to see a disruption. You're going to see some people like, no, I liked it all. Some people no, whatever, but there might, I think that it's a growth point. The growth point now is like, you want to be another, you know, you are a multi-Patreon podcaster as it is right now. I think it's time to split it into a separate and, you know, thing. And that's something like that might even be something we should think about, weird things and after things. Cause it might be that, you know, these things might thrive better in their own, you know, worlds, you know, but anyhow, for that, I think my votes, split them, you know, make content free for a while. Tell people like, hey, listen, it's free. I want to ease this transition, whatever. You're very good at that. being extremely sympathetic to your audience, but I say split.
I look at the Patreons that I'm involved in and everyone else's. And, you know, one thing with the Cord Killers Patreon, because as a part of that, we have a sister show, it's Spoiler in Time, which is a different show, but it's still a very similar, it's still very closely tied to Cord Killers. And so, you know, early on, or at least, you know, a few years ago, we would get a lot of people who would be like, well, I like Cord Killers, but I don't like Spoiler in Time, or I don't listen to Spoiler in Time. And so I would like to not support Spoiler in Time. Is there a way I can dedicate my money to the one but not the other? And the thing about the, I think what people have come to understand about that is that those two shows are inherently tied. We record them at the same time. They come out at
the same talent, the same time. It's the same people that are doing the one thing or doing the other.
Right. And so I think people have gotten used to that and understand that, that that is a bonus add-on degree to Cord Killers. And I would probably say maybe a similar thing to After Things. So I think After Things is conceptually very different. Though I don't exactly know. That would be an interesting thing to talk about. But the other thing I think about, and this was, I mean, I don't even remember how many years ago this was, but back when everybody was on doing when a lot of people were on Twit still, and YouTube was still sort of burgeoning, everything was going on to the Twit YouTube channel, and that would be the big shows, the little shows, everything just kind of was in this one big channel. And the tough thing about it, especially at the time where the algorithm sorting stuff didn't really understand what different episodes were and how to show stuff right, at the time, that was kind of an annoying thing to follow, because I was like, oh, well, I like watching NSFW, and maybe sometimes I'll watch, you know, Tech News Today, but I don't care about home theater.
I'm not into This Week in Computer Hardware, and I'm not into Linux, and I'm not into Security Now necessarily. And that's not to say that any of these are good or bad. It's just that the internet.
That's not my interest, right?
Yeah, and so, the internet's all about getting exactly what you want.
Right. Well, and so I understand the value of like having everything on one channel, you know, as a means to like bolster another thing. We did that with the Modern Rogue, where we had Modern Rogue on the Scam School channel for a while. And then after a while, it grew into its own thing and it moved to its own channel. And Twit did a very similar thing where all of those shows sort of got their own channels and were essentially democratized the organization of those shows, right? You suddenly had a bunch of channels that updated about once a week.
Yeah, there's advantages, like as Bryce says, for there because for point of discovery. But part of the value, I think, of Patreon is kind of like, I have an audience. Now I need to tailor the products to them. Matuba in the chat makes some points that, you know, that the outsiders you could potentially gain for politics is higher if it is separate. And that's often the case where sometimes we look at the whole thing and we don't realize if we took this one part out of it, enormous. If you took Amazon AWS, Amazon Web Services, out of Amazon and it was a separate company, you know, it could be a Google rival by itself, forgetting the part about Amazon that delivers products and does Prime. You know, Tesla is an example. Like, I'm coming back to that. Like, I've vested a lot in Tesla because I'm like, forget the cars. They're now becoming the largest battery manufacturer. And you look at what they're dealing with, these power packs they've been building, like gigawatt entire infrastructures to supply power for municipalities. They're doing amazing things there that get pushed down below the fold because Model 3, you know, like, oh, they only delivered 4,500 this week instead of 46. Or what it's like, oh, yeah, that's important. But it's like the bigger story is here. And so politics, like, that separate brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
you're good at brands. Justin, you're good at creating different brands.
And you've incubated it well enough. But like I look at the Patreon for Jury and, you know, the politics stuff is kind of in here in the copy. But it sort of muddles the point when you have two very different shows on the same thing. I think you have built it up and I can see the downsides or the things that might be discouraging. The idea of splitting and suddenly you have two possibly smaller Patreons. Or
well, yeah. So here's I'm glad you guys have agreed, because the solution that I've come up with after thinking about this long and hard and asking a few questions to Patreon itself is to split things up. And I'm going to keep this is the plan now, right? So I'm opening this up to everybody. If you guys have any thoughts, please hit me up at Justin R. Young or Justin R. Young or Justin Robert Young at gmail.com. If I do it, I would keep the current Patreon as the Politics, Politics, Politics one.
Oh, would, and split Jury out into a new one?
I would split Jury into its own thing.
Wow. So
the majority of the people that are at the level that are supporting it at the level that I want, they're there for the politics.
Yeah.
Not there for the Jury.
Wow.
So that would be the idea.
Okay.
The problems are this. Number one, anytime that you are messing with anything that is making you money, and you know, this is not, we're doing well enough to live a fun life, but you know, listen, the second one of these things goes wrong,
you could mess everything up forever.
Yeah. The other side is that, you know, there is this idea of, you know, is there a value in the big, you know, just come on in? I mean, like am I looking at it the wrong way that I should be looking at it as like Amazon Prime, and that I should be constantly adding new and greater value to one thing, and I should be rebranding it as the Justin One Mic Extravaganza, and there's something for everybody, so everybody needs to get in on it.
Well, as pointed out in here, OpenBio mentions that he doesn't like mega feeds, and that's the problem. Is the Amazon thing is I get access, but it's not like Amazon Prime. When I open it up, it feeds every show through me, you know?
Yeah.
And so if Patreon worked differently, if there was a way to say, hey, subscribe here, click and choose which feeds you want, which, hey, business model, hint, hint, that would be cool. But that's not the world we live in. And I know there's a lot of people like, there are people like, I've got to subscribe to this, this. Understood. But what's the best for your show and you in the long term? Probably this way.
And I think that there is, I think there are technical things that you could do that would not be as airtight as the solution Patreon gives you of giving people access to more granular private feeds. It would not be pretty, and it would be way more susceptible to abuse. But I think that there the other very plausible road is that the Patreon/Jury page becomes a landing page for all of the Justin shows. I think there's a world where that could be a thing, but I also think that two shows is not I think you would have to grow into that solution where splitting them becomes a different thing.
The other problem is we are inherently looking at this, or I am inherently looking at this, and I think that the people that are listening right now are inherently looking at this from the perspective of a fan of mine that's come through a lot of this stuff, and it's almost like they look at it like I do, and I have to kind of try to reframe my thinking, because I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I was doing Jury and then I started doing the politics thing. But the more I try to look at it in, I think, a smarter way, I'm like, well, yeah, but politics is a very defined genre. Mm-hmm. You know all the players, right? Like the way that people become big in politics is by having very specific come here for politics brands, right? Be they Twitter or blogs or podcasts or radio shows. It is, this is what we do.
And that's not the message with politics, 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 well, because it's intermixed.
It's its own thing. If people want to support, and this is how everything gets paid, then you want to do that. Now, the other side is, and this is what Open Bayou is like, hey, look, in general, I there are some times where you just have to have Patreons for everything, because like, we need a separate Patreon for weird things than we do for Night Attack, because Andrew's involved in weird things. Brian and I are involved in Night Attack. And even though Brian and I are both also involved in weird things, just whenever there's money and you're trying to split it, it's just better for everybody if it's all coming out of another bucket. right? Like it's just
self
better.
Siloing it so that you have a better understanding of what compartments have what distribution. Yeah.
Yeah. And same thing with Unfriend Me. Like by and large, and 1-900 Wrestling, unlike Politics, became its own Patreon because
it's you and Dills.
It's me and Dills, right?
Yeah.
So I understand that there is the idea of, another Patreon. I got to support another Patreon. Now I got to think about whether or not I'm going to decline or I'm going to take money away from another one. And I'll figure that out. I'm very sensitive to that as well. At the same time, it's like at right now, I think I'm maxed out on what I feel comfortable putting out on what I am positioning as my luxury RSS feed. Like right now, if you become enamored with my point of view and need to hear my political hot takes, and you download, you get this RSS feed, it comes with a lot of what might seem to you to be adware, right? Like just a lot of cruft, a lot of programs that you don't need right now.
Sure. I'm scrolling through the list. So we got Jury most recently, then a Politics.
Those are both today.
Friday Hype Train, which is like a separate thing from those two.
That would
even
go with Jury, theoretically.
Politics, Jury, Politics. So it's like it's relatively even in this very short sampling, but it's still two very different shows.
Yeah, and right now, by the numbers, it would be five things in the Jury world and three things from the political world, and yet the majority of the people that are patrons are Politics people. Or at least that was the biggest spike that we have gotten. We almost doubled the Patreon when we offered exclusive content.
I think if there's a way to I think if you're able to position this in a way where, you know, not only is it better organized and better for both of these brands, but it also allows you to do more granular sorts of content, right? Like if, say, you have a political thing and some breaking political thing happens, you could, you know, not even on the live stream, you could just record something and throw it on the Patreon and then you know that's going out to the people who want Politics and not interrupting the people who want Jury stuff. Or if you get an email and you want to just post the text of an email, a special email, or write a thing, like you are creating two roads. Like you already have two roads, but now they are able to function more. They're able to function discreetly and with purpose.
I mean, look, I feel like we are just now to the point where I would expect somebody who doesn't really know about this to understand the problem, which kind of underscores to me that it's already too complicated, like for people to understand.
Yeah.
And that's not what you necessarily want if you're trying to bring in outsiders.
Well, and I think, yeah, because you
every moment that you don't understand how to support something or what you're getting for it, I think is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough, but I you know, hearing you talk about it, I can tell very clearly that this will be better for both of these brands to be separate and to have that distinct purpose for each of those things, so that the Politics, if you attract a random Politics listener from iTunes, that they go to the site and they know it's a Politics thing and not, you know, a completely different show.
Yeah, or not to mention that, like, you know, Patreon is okay at recommending other things, right? Yeah. But if somebody randomly finds me, how do they know?
Right. You would not get from this, you know, the tagline that you've got at top, which is most of what they will show to people.
Yeah.
That this is that there is a political angle to this.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's tough, but I also know that like our community can be very understanding and can, like, there's nothing salacious about this. This is just, hey, like,
yeah. And everything free would still be free.
Yeah.
There's no you know, right now the jury thing would just be a way for people to support it and also for it to be able to grow. And that's the thing. It's like right now I made the call to break it up into four episodes and that's pretty much it. There's really no more that I can grow it on that feed without even further kind of complicating it. So, yeah. You know, it's scary. And I think there will be more. I've had a couple kind of public discussions about it on the stream. I'm very sympathetic to Open Bayou's, you know, fear that there's a, a threshold to how many Patreons people want to support, and this might be falling outside of it. But at the same time, I do think that in the moment, those fears are always more than historically they are. Like from somebody who thought, Kevin Smith waited too long to get into podcasting. Too bad. You know, I'm sure he could have had a successful podcast had he had done started Smodcast from before everything had gotten too saturated. And now he's moving into like 10 years of Smodcast and podcasts, I think, are in a richer, larger place than they have ever been before. I think similarly with Patreon, there's just more and more people that want to move into this kind of model. There's more and more people that want to support this kind of way that while there might be people in our crowd that it's like, well, sorry, I can only support one, or I got to drop my jury Patreon because I really like the politics thing. I'm just going to leave it on the politics thing. Then that's fine. You know?
I mean, it's always tough when you're putting a group of people in a situation where at least one of them will have to say, but you're going to make me have to decide. And it's always very tough to say, I need you just to decide, because it's better for the shows. And either way, you're supporting, but I need you to tick a box, and don't need you to tick all of them, but just like you may have to make a decision, and we're at the point where people will have to make decisions.
Absolutely. There is no one answer that will make everybody who loves you happy. You have to figure out. And there's also the thing to think that the best thing, one, for you, two, for them, and three, for the future jury fan. You know, that is the thing, too, is that in an ideal world, there's the people who've been with you this far, but then there's also going to be the people who hopefully will discover and find you and want to support you, which I think this helps your discovery, because now it's like, here's, because it's this politics thing and not all this other nonsense, you know, and, you know, you have no lack of empathy for your fans. So I think you'll be fine.
That is the one thing that also with the jury thing, I really feel like it deserves its own kind of branding, because daily podcast listeners are different than weekly podcast listeners. Like I've watched enough of them and I've met enough of them to know that, not to say that it's a one-to-one, but it's like there are people that they have commutes, they've got specific things where like they just want a daily show for which they can enjoy, and I want to be able to cater to them specifically in a way that I can't for a weekly, a weekly show with custom content. Yeah.
And Open Bayou, you know, Open Bayou is kind of going on to what we were talking about with subscription fatigue, but we're not going to solve subscription fatigue if you keep these in the same feed, in the same campaign.
And part of the problem with subscription fatigue is some things should not be subscriptions. Like you mentioned clothing and stuff, like, oh, every month I'm going to get this, our clothing thing. It's like, those are business models that they say there will be people who go like, oh, I want to have this problem solved. But you look at the efficiency there. They're not creating an efficiency for you. They're hoping on the inefficiency of you buying more clothes or them having the regular basis getting more. And that's the thing, too, is you got to think closely about some of these models of like, you know, I buy Microsoft Word. I don't subscribe to Microsoft Online. I'll buy the model, whatever version I can, because I only use it when my editors send me a manuscript of Word back. For me to subscribe to Word every single month to go do that is dumb, you know, like to not dumb for somebody to do it. But I mean, I just don't like that model. Photoshop, I do. I'm happy with the Photoshop model because Microsoft Word has not gotten better for me in the last 20 years. There's not an improvement they've added to it where I said, this has made my life easier.
Right.
Photoshop, I go, man, yeah, this year, this version's better than last year, better than last year, better than that, you know. And that's where I get subscription fatigue, you know. But the beauty of it does sort of, for some services, though, you know, entertainment kind of makes sense. But yeah, having to subscribe like this Patreon over here, or these guys, and then you get that big bill and you're like, I don't listen to that show.
And like, democratizing these brands in this way is the goal of some of these subscriptions, of not needing to buy into a bundle of something you may not like.
Yeah, that's the advantage, is that, you know, by picking and choosing, you're not paying, you know, $100 a month for podcast cable.
Right.
All right. One last question. This is one of those dirt under the fingernails, like the real work that you have to think about in these kinds of businesses kind of stuff that I love to talk about on After Things.
Okay.
So one thing is, if I'm going to keep the Patreon for politics and not for jury, is that the Patreon account is still patreon.com/jury. Now, I can change that name and start the other one. I can then retake that name with a new account.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But when I change that URL, I will need everybody who uses those custom RSS feeds that I have been touting as the super easy, no muss, no fuss forever RSS feeds. They will have to delete and re-enter a new RSS feed.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I
mean,
this is a great this is a great pull for your audience.
Yeah.
Because then you can point to, you guys decided this. Don't blame me.
We kind of had this hurdle when we launched the Modern Rogue YouTube channel, where we had to say, hey, you've been enjoying it exclusively on the Scam School channel. If you like it, we need you to press a button so that you can keep enjoying it. And I think, you know, if there's a transition period where, you know, maybe the politics ones are still, or I don't know, I think there can be a transition period where you are preempting these things, like, hey, just heads up, you're gonna have to change your RSS link if you haven't already, so that you get the different thing.
Once I switch if I can communicate with them.
Oh, right. Well, you'll still be able to get to in touch with them via email. Patreon still sends out emails.
But not in the RSS feed. So I would have to. It would have to be like, all right, we're setting up. Like in a week, if you're hearing this, and then have one dedicated, like, sirens blaring.
Yeah.
You know, Drudge Report GIF siren. You gotta change.
You've got to make a day and just say, hey, on this day.
I can handhold this a little bit.
Yeah.
Because the number of $3 patrons it's not massive, right? We're talking in the 100 plus range, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can probably even just go door to door and literally be like asking everybody if they have accepted Christ as their savior and updated their RSS feed to make sure that this happens. So it is something that I could, that it's not crazy for me to get my hands dirty and beat the pavement a little bit.
Yeah, this is just going to come out of, you know, proper communication and execution.
Yeah.
And just letting people, hey, like, we are all going to have to rip the Band-Aid off a little bit. Please just click the link, delete the old feed, put in the new feed, give it some time to repopulate.
Yeah. And maybe I can do a special episode or something to, like, entice people to, maybe I can put a little tasty bit of content on the other side and be like, hey, you gotta change it.
There's a train. Do you hear the whistle? Gotta get on board the train. Yeah. You know,
this episode brought to you by changing your RSS feed.
Yeah.
But there we go. That is the thought. I think I've kind of made my mind up on it each time that I've had this conversation with folks in online. It has kind of gone through a fairly replicated, no to, oh, Is that what you're trying to fix? To, well, then why don't you just have two patrons? And I'm like, okay, cool. We got where I wanted to go, which is good. So
yeah, it just means that you have to tell the exact same story to all of the people who already love you.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the thought. But thank you guys for helping me talk through it.
Oh yeah. I'm glad to hear. I'm excited for it. I'm glad, because it's always a thing that it's been in the corner of my eyes. Like, oh, he's gonna have to make. He might have to
at
make.
At some point, I'm gonna have to make a new video, and I got to redo my goals, yeah. And like, because like one of the goals is like at $2,000 a week, I do a daily show, and now I'm just doing a daily show at $1,100. So it's like there's a lot that just needed a new coat of paint, and this is going to be, I think. This is going to be fairly key.
Yeah.
And believe you me, man, I would love to be able to bundle like a Twitch sub and all this into one thing, or people would be able to get it. There's a lot of fragmentation that, God, I hope we don't have to deal with in 10 years, but
yeah,
who knows? Maybe we'll all be dead.
Maybe, I like that you're like, maybe the best solution is,
I mean, listen. Yeah, this is a very complicated. Listen, I'm trying to one up subscription fatigue. It's like, listen, we can either have angst about how many subscriptions we have, or we could all just die,
drop dead.
We've gone from wishing that we had a recession,
yeah,
to show our frustration to, you know, like what if we just all die?
Yeah, what if we just die? Hey, do we want to do picks?
Yep.
Yeah.
I got a great one.
Oh, go for it, Andrew.
Oh. Want me to go first?
Yeah.
You go.
All of this talk about radio, podcasting, media, consolidation, all this reminded me of one of the most interesting books about the business that helped me understand a lot more about like particular radio was Howard Stern's Private Parts.
Hmm.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
25 years ago, about Howard Stern discussing his rise in radio, and Howard Stern became one of the top broadcasters there is. And so this is a story. There's the movie, but the book, that's what I was referencing. Mm-hmm. The book goes into the ins and outs. How did he go from some guy in the middle of nowhere to all of a sudden building a big audience? And I think a lot of it applies to podcasting today. You know, you look at the rise of Joe Rogan. You look at some of these people who are some people who made these, you know, were really well known in radio and made a jump to podcasting, or some people who we know through podcasting and what worked there. And a lot of the same things work as you do these minor markets, you build up your audience, you scale up. Maybe you're on a bigger platform. Once you reach a point where you're able to have your own platform, there was a whole reason why Howard Stern was paid enormous sums of money to go to Sirius XM. That was because this is your I guess it was Sirius was he went to?
Sirius, yeah.
Yeah. It was because here's this nascent satellite network that's like, we need content. Well, if we get this guy here and the only place people can get him, he's going to lose a big part of his audience, but we'll compensate for him. We're going to have millions of subscribers now to our network, and then we can entice him with other packages and stuff. That was the power of Howard Stern. The power of Howard Stern was this guy could launch an entirely new form of content. And so Private Parts is sort of, I think, a really neat, you know, example of the rise of that.
Very cool.
Fascinating book. Great movie, and it blows my mind to this day how much influence Howard Stern has, and he like does like two shows a week, you know, if that sometimes. Like, he is a fairly infrequent guy, but I mean, such a career that he has had, you know, it's worth it for fans of his to just have his best ofs from years and years and years play ad infinitum and listen to all these great celebrity interviews that he has done throughout the years. And then before all the in studio hijinks.
I got a pick. There's a mobile game that is very dangerous, but it's because it's very called fun.
Drive and Play.
It's called The Battle of Polytopia. Have you guys heard of this?
Mm-mm.
It is basically a single player version of like Civilization, but it's very fast. So you kind of start off with these units, and you found a town on this very tiny map. and you only have like 30 turns to, you know, conquer as much of the map as you can and build up your cities and gain points. It's not so addicting where like I gotta play it, but it's when I do play it, I just can't help but think like, man, this is really smart and a very interesting way to take, you know, Civilization, which is a very long turn-based strategy game that can go on and on and on, into something very small and easy to control with your finger, and you can make it short but still have some depth in, you know, you have these different civilizations and so they have different tech trees and you're building up your cities, and it's a very neat thing. I really, you know, think you should at least try it, and also it's free. So
nice.
The Battle of Polytopia, and it's on iOS and Android.
I totally apropos of nothing, the wrestling show that I went to over the weekend, the Japanese one, was sponsored by a Japanese rhythm mobile game called Bang Dream Girl Band, which I thought was one of those just, man.
Huh.
I don't know if that really is understood, if that really makes the translation, but Bang Dream Girls Band Party. That's it.
Okay. Huh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think I've seen this. This is a new one. I think I saw this like on the like up and coming or, you know, pre-release things on iOS.
It's the kind of thing that gets, you know, in Japan, I just think it means something, but in American, you know, fart sniffing wrestling fans, it's just like,
yeah, that's the thing is
Dream Bang Girls.
Like if you have some of the bands,
I'm sure if you explain it to like, them, they totally change it.
Poppin' Party, yeah, and
I guess that is probably a feature, not a bug.
Yeah.
My pick is a book I read about the Rat Pack over the weekend. Finally finished it. All right, Rat Pack Confidential. Frank, Dean, Sammy, Peter, Joey, and the Last Great Show Biz Party. I think this is the one that I got. This might not be, actually.
From Sean Levy?
This might be the good one. There's another one that I... Anyway, that one's good, too. But doing a bunch of Rat Pack reading for this 1960 podcast. And, man, you know, I'll tell you what. Talk about a fascinating story of watching, you know, the Frank Sinatra's career specifically, you know, starts out as this matinee idol in this kind of like big band swing era, really has his career die in front of him, because as the war's going on, he's not going to war. And so it becomes this cultural shift. He is looked at as the decay of the youth, that all these girls want to do is scream and kiss this singer boy, and he's not even going off to war like they're, you know, brothers and husbands really are, yada yada yada. Then has a comeback, becomes an actor, and then kind of becomes the thing that almost killed his career as he watches everything sort of move into this post 1960 free love. You know, drug culture becomes a thing. The sound becomes something radically different. And yet, on the other end of it, certainly hippie culture is something that kind of never went away, specifically in this neck of the woods. But it's less the nadir of cool in a way that the Rat Pack kind of has consistently been. No matter what, it might be less... then, but there is the like, let's get dressed up in suits and have a cool swinging night. Like that is a thing that even in Vegas is still hardwired into the like, you want to have a fun night kind of culture. That's kind of crazy that when you think of it, you know, Frank Sinatra, you wonder whether or not in 50 years from now, if Frank Sinatra and Elvis, you know, who Elvis was kind of endemic of the next great musical wave, who will be continued to be remembered, right? Who will be thought of as more cool?
Well, in Blade Runner 2049, the answer is yeah, both.
Exactly, right? You know, that it's there's modern art that is looking at that as like, oh, look, this is still this time capsule period that we look back on fondly, even as we've had successive kind of decades. So fascinating career. Book's pretty good. The author does this weird thing where they really, really, really want to keep talking about how good or bad the movies he and the rest of the Rat Pack did. So they'll like the movie, like the filmography is kind of this like anchor point, and we'll like the author will just savage some of these movies, and it's like, okay, cool. I would have been okay with it was bad, but we don't necessarily need to break down the problems of this, the old era of film. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think if I was reading a biography of my favorite actor or an actor that I really liked that we would need to go through every clunker they did and explain it was bad because the secondary characters were bad and the script had problems in the third act. It's like,
okay. But like film has changed so much in the, you know, 70 years since then.
Well, and that's there's a fascinating thing in there where he talks about how much Sinatra hated Brando. And one of the things that he hated the most about Brando was he really wanted that role. Sinatra wanted the on the waterfront role. That's the, you know, I could have been a contender, like that that role. Mm-hmm. Because Brando at that point was one of the first big kind of he changed acting. He changed what, you know, somebody walking into a role could be. And Sinatra was from an older school where he's like, no, Brando's the soft actor. I'm a hard hoodlum. If there's the hard hoodlum role, I should be the one who's getting it because that's what people pay to see. They pay to see me doing slightly different. I'm playing a role, but I'm really me. And it is the odor that comes off me and goes through the screen that is what makes people pay for a ticket. And you think now it's like we're just kind of so far past that, you know, that Brando kind of won.
So somebody quick in the chat room said 1960 podcast. What?
You've been talking about this a little bit.
Yeah. So I'm working on a thing. It's taking longer than I wanted to because it involves me actually physically reading things, which is not my strong suit. And I can find a million other reasons to not want to do it and very, very, very good things that I can be doing instead of it. But I want to do a multi-part podcast about the 1960 election and specifically the conspiracy that the Kennedy camp consorted through Frank Sinatra and the mob to win the 1960 election against Richard Nixon. And so it's going to be focusing primarily on both Nixon at the time, Kennedy, the American mob, which at that point was really kind of becoming something that in the public consciousness, what we were about to be fascinated by. And, of course the Rat Pack and really, politics in Hollywood and politics in music, which pre-1960 was something very different than what would happen post-1960 and really even to this day. You know, the idea of activism from that perspective is something that, like, took a substantial step forward with the friendship of Frank Sinatra and JFK.
Mm. Oh, very cool.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to it. Really, really looking forward to it. Gentlemen. Spin After?
Yeah.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.